What is the most valuable personal possession that you have ever lost? Now, as I ask you that question, I'm sure that there are a lot of us who can remember something almost immediately where you've sat back and you've thought to yourself, here was something that was very valuable to me for whatever reason. Maybe it was for personal reasons. Maybe it was monetary reasons, but you lost something. And some of you are thinking to yourself, I remember it very vaguely because I still haven't found it to this day. Well, let me ask you this. When you lost that item, how did it make you feel to know that it was gone, to know that it was missing? You know, as I think about that, I think often what happens is people will start taking it out on other people. Well, where'd you put this? Where'd you move that? And, you know, we get frustrated. Oftentimes it's frustration with ourselves, not necessarily with everybody else, but then those around us, we tend to take things out on them along the way. But you still have that item in your mind. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, maybe you never found it, but did you find it? What was it like when you actually found it? Maybe it was something that you lost. You looked for it for a while. Maybe it was missing for a little while, days, weeks, months, even years, and then you came across it. How did it make you feel when you came across it? Today, we're actually going to be looking at some passages that come out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, where the book of the law is found. Grab your Bible and come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to our Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust and pray that you're doing well and you've had a happy, safe, and wonderful Thanksgiving. I mentioned a moment ago that today we're going to be looking at the scriptures that come out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, and we're actually going to begin reading with verse 8. Now, there are some tongue twister names in there, so you guys are going to have to bear with me along the way as I work on trying to get these names right, because I know a lot of times we'll stumble across them. I do the same thing, but we're going to do the best we can with what we've got as we look at God's Word today out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading with verse 8. Verse 8 says, Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, Akbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all Judah concerning the words of the Lord has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of the book and do according to all that's written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikim, Akbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. And she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants and all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. but as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants, that they would become a desolate and a curse. And you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back the word, they brought back word to the king. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we hope and pray and trust that as we look at your word, that you truly will open our hearts. Father, there's such a simple concept that you give us to follow you, to do your, to be true disciples, not only in light of believing in you, but Lord, following what your will is for us. And Father, we see that how easily that can be lost along the way. We see it in your word. We see it in our everyday lives. I pray, Father, that we will have that spiritual checkup today, and that that we would truly turn back to you. Lord, we pray that individually we would do so, as a church we would do so, and Lord, as a country and a nation, we would turn back to you, that you might bless in a way that you truly want to. So, Father, we pray that you'll bless our time. Use me as your servant for these moments, and Lord, may you truly be lifted up, high and exalted. For Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this particular story, now I told you they had some pretty rough names in there, didn't they? But in our passage today, Hilkiah, the high priest, actually found the book of the law in the house of the Lord during the reign of righteous King Josiah. Now I want you to think about that statement for a moment. Let's go back and think about what I just said to you. I said to you that Hilkiah, the high priest, found the book of the law. Now we know what that is. You know, we know what the book of the law is, what the word tells us the Lord, that was the Lord's directions. It was the law. It was God's word to them to follow back pre Jesus Christ crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. So they found this book. Now it says that they found it in the house of the Lord during the reign of righteous King Josiah. Now, this is what I want to ask you. This would almost seem like a complicated question in some manner, but really it's not. But here's the question. How does a nation or a people completely lose the Bible? Now, when we talk about losing it, they physically lost it. But, you know, think about what we're doing today. How does a nation completely lose the Bible? I kind of see us in America being exactly in that particular place. We might know what it says. It may have been something from the past. It may have been a relic that was on the coffee table. But the problem is we don't follow it. It has been lost to us. And there's another condition that we see about as well. In the question I previously asked you, I said, it said that the book of the law, where was it found? It was found in the house of the Lord, the church. Has the church lost the Bible? I believe that in a lot of places it has. We're not doing what the word says. We're not following what the word says. At times what we do is we walk in and we act like, we're there on Sunday, maybe in our Sunday best or whatever God has given us, and we show up and we go through the motions. You know, being a born-again believer, being a child of the King, is not something that you just do on Sunday. It is something that you do every day of the week. God doesn't expect us just to read the Word of God on Sunday when we gather together as a church. He has an expectation that we read and follow His Word every single day. You know, so I pose a question to each and every one of us today. Has our country lost the Word of God? Have our churches lost the Word of God? Have you and I personally lost the Bible within who we are? Are we so busy doing this thing called life that we're leaving Jesus Christ completely out of it? You know, how close do you think that we are? If you don't think so, how close do you think we are to losing God's word in our nation today? I think we're there. It is slipping away because the word is not what's consulted. We're not living, as Americans, we're not living our life based on the word of God like we used to. Our decisions aren't being made based on the word of God. In fact, when you try to make a decision in our society today based on the word of God, you'll often get blowback on that. Well, it's a Bible. You know, you're one of those Bible-toting Jesus people, and that's not the way we work today. Yeah, that's the way things used to be. Well, folks, let me just remind you that the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like what the word tells us. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word is, was God, and the word is God. We can't throw the word of God out. It should be the guide for our lives. It should be the guide for our churches. It should be the guide for our country. And now let me rephrase or re-ask the question once again. Do you believe that our nation has completely lost the Bible as we have read about in our scripture text today? You know, I think that not only are we close, I think that in a lot of ways have we lost it. But I pose another question to you. If you believe that our country, our church, or maybe even ourselves have lost the Bible, do you believe we can find it again? You know, thanks be to God that according to His word and His grace, we certainly can. Now, as we go back and evaluate our scripture text again, think about where Hilkiah found the book of the law. And we can see that in our scripture text in verse 8, which is actually 2 Kings chapter 22. And verse 8 says, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. It was right there all the time. It was there physically. But folks, I just want to point something out to you. You can't get God's word by osmosis. Now, you know what? That's a big old fancy word I learned in science back in high school. Osmosis means I can't just lay my hands on this Bible, or I can't just sleep on this Bible and all of a sudden pick up everything that's in it. I can't just, you know, sit on it as I drive around and all of a sudden know the truth in the word of God. You have to take it in. You have to digest it. You have to meditate on it. And as you do so, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And ironically enough, it says that Hilkiah found the book of the law at exactly where it was supposed to be, or where it should have been, in the church. But the problem with that is having it there physically and having it there with everybody functioning around what the words of God were two completely different things. The same thing that happened then happens today. You know what? We can be all about biblical things and yet not be doing biblical things. Yeah, and let me give you an example. Oftentimes people will come and they will maybe bring something to me and they'll say, well, yeah, so-and-so did this to me. And I'll say, well, have you forgiven them? No, I'm not going to forgive them. I can't forgive them. And I can sit back and say, you know, the Word of God tells us we don't have any choice in that. The Word of God says that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven, and we've been forgiven much. You know, you've got to. And people have literally drawn lines in the sand and said, I will not do that. I will not do that. I will not do that. They are not keeping the word of the Lord. And so how easily can it be lost when we're too busy about doing so many other things? When our churches become more about what's going on in the buildings or what this is for and how can we do this, as opposed to being about the work of the kingdom, which is reaching people with the gospel of Christ and training them to serve Him and discipling them, we can completely lose track of the Word of God. You know, how can God's Word be in the house of the Lord and yet be lost there at the same time? I think that you and I both know the answer to that question. It's how we act. It's how we do. Are we reflections of the Word of God? You know, if the Word, remember what I said a moment ago, that verse that said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. Well, if you want to be around God, you're going to have to be around His Word. That's what He gives to us. Yeah, it is a living Word. It is applicable to you and me exactly where we are. So the question is, are we living the Word of God out? Or has the Word of God been lost in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our country? Well, what happens along the way in our scripture text is that King Josiah first, you know, heard the words of the book of the law being found. Yeah, he had an immediate response. You find that in our scripture text in verses 9 through 11. And his immediate response was that he tore his clothes, you know, in agony. I believe, let me see if I can find that for you. In verse 9, it says let me go back to verse 9. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing him, the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered all the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. You see, he knew what had been found. He also knew that that the people were not functioning in the manner in accordance with the book of the law, the word of God. You know, he realized that about the people of his nation. Look with me again at verse 12. It says, "Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying," it's what he said, verse 13, he said, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all of Judah, concerning the words of the book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning it." Do you see what he was saying? He said, God is up, yeah, God's uptight with us. He's uptight with us because our previous generations have not been following the word of God. They haven't been walking in ways that would be pleasing to him. And he's upset. Now go find out how upset God is. Go find out what God has to say about this. That is the reason, you know, why the king, you know, tore his clothes when he found out what was going on. Now, he sent them to Huldah, okay? And Huldah had a great responsibility that God had given her. Let's go find out what that is in verse 14. It says, "So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikbah, the son of Harass, keeper of the wardrobe." And then, of course, we find it says in the latter part of verse 14 that she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her. She had a tremendous responsibility. So this tells us something as well about women having godly roles in his work. Now, that doesn't say that that was a pastor. That doesn't say that that was a deacon by any stretch. Women do have important roles to play when it comes down to ministry, when it comes down to doing God's work. Don't ever let that be said. And don't ever let it be said that we as a church don't believe that there aren't important roles for women to play when it comes down to God's work. That we just believe that there are two that that the Word tells us that they're not to be doing, and that is to be that of the pastor or that of a deacon. Okay, but she had an important role here. So what happens is there's a message that gets sent back. The inquiry was sent. There's a message that was sent back, and God sent through Huldah and the messengers a message back to King Josiah that we find in verses 15 through 20. Now, I won't read them all, but just to give you an idea, but here was her answer. Verse 15 says, "Then she said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me,'" which was King Josiah, "that sent you to me, 'Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because," and here's the reason why, "because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods." In other words, they were worshiping other gods, not the God. that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. In other words, God is upset. Yeah, and essentially he said, you haven't been doing what was right, and here's what's going to happen. My wrath is going to rain down upon you all simply because of what you've done. You've been burning incense to other gods. And remember what God said, even in his commandments. The very first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says, I am a jealous God. I don't want you even thinking about any of these other gods. I want your full, undivided attention. And yet what happens is we allow Satan to distract us from what God wants us to do. Yep, you know what? You can truly be a part of a church, and the church doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. You know, I've heard sermons before that I call skyscraper sermons, story after story after story. Not a single scripture was read from a pulpit. There is no godly attributes that are applied to it. And folks, that's dangerous territory. You know, you can't just accept the bits and pieces of the Bible that fit your lifestyle and your agenda. You have to believe it, as the old boy says, from Genesis all the way through to maps. And I heard a guy say, that's not correct. He says it has to go from index all the way to the maps. You can't just pick and choose what you want to do, what you think is right or what fits your lifestyle. You need to walk with him. You need to talk with him. And you can truly be a part of a church that has lost the Bible. You in your life can be a person who vows that you are a Christian, but you are not walking in Christian and godly ways. So the question is, what does the Holy Spirit put on your heart and your mind about what we're reading today? Have you lost the word? Have you lost it? Remember what I said before? When I read this, I kept thinking, how does a nation just lose the word of God? Now, lose in this case was meant literally. They literally had misplaced it. But how many times have we metaphorically lost the word of God? I believe that we've done that a lot. We see that a lot, and particularly in our day and age. So God sends this message back to Josiah about what's going to happen and what's going to take place. Now, I want you to think about, I'm going to give you some other passages. Josiah actually was led to some action because of these things and because of what happened. And we find those actions and those things mentioned in 2 Kings 23, verses 24 and 25. And I want you to listen about what Josiah did. 2 Kings 23, 24 and 25. Says this. It says, moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritualists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Verse 25 says, now but before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. So what happened was, when King Josiah found out and knew what was taking place, knew that they had strayed from the word of God, he took some action. Notice what it says he did. It says he put away those who consulted mediums. You know, the satanic supernatural, the spiritualists, those who consult demonic forces, the household gods with a little g and idols, things that people were actually paying homage to outside of the God Almighty, things that people had made idols both physically and spiritually. They actually had real idols that they were paying homage to. It says, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem that were counterproductive to God's word. Yeah, he says, nope, we're getting rid of those. Now, remember I asked you early on in our broadcast, if you felt like our nation, our churches, ourselves, our families have lost the word of God. And then I followed up with the question, do you believe that we can get it back? I believe there's still time. You know, this, you know, the passages we're looking at today were during the time when everybody was under law. today you and I are under grace, and God's grace is manifest upon us in so many ways that it is just unreal. The grace of God as it shines forth upon us. I believe that God patiently waits for you and I to return to Him. I believe that He patiently waits for His church that has lost the word to return to Him. I believe that He waits for a country that's turned its back on God to return. But I will say this, He will only wait for so long. There were consequences that we read about in our scripture passage today. God's wrath was stirred up, and God's wrath did fall. Only upon the king did the Lord send word that I'm going to smile upon you because of your reaction, because of the fact that it broke your heart when you knew that your forefathers and the people had turned their backs on God. You know, that, remember when it says that He tore His clothes? Because of His action and reaction, there would be some grace and some kindness that would be shown to Josiah. You know, Josiah was a model of godly leadership based on some of the things that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, as well as our text today. He was a model of godly leadership and an example to follow. Remember, as we look through our Bible studies and as we take each and every day, that's one of the things that I've always asked you to look for. Look for some examples, good godly examples that you can follow in your life. Josiah is a good model of that right here. When he heard and when he saw that the people had turned essentially away and lost the word, he did everything in his power to point the nation back to him. He says, no, we're not going to have these idols around here. None of this is going to happen. And see, back in the days of the king, what he said was law, literally. He said, no, we're not doing this. Get rid of all these things. Get rid of all these idols. You have burned incense to gods other than the one God Almighty, and it's time that we start making some changes. What changes has the Holy Spirit put forth in your heart right now, even as I'm speaking, that you need to change in order to be compliant to Him, in order to find once again the lost word of God in your life, in your heart, in your church, in your country? What is God leading you personally to be able to do about that? You know, what difference would it make to have more leaders like Joshua? Think about it. It'd be a huge difference. I mean, Josiah, that is, not Joshua, but Josiah. It would make a tremendous difference to have more leaders that had his godly model of leadership in our country today. Think about it. Not too long ago, we came through an election, and we've said before, I told you, I said, folks, go out and vote. And people say, well, you know, preacher, you're not supposed to be propagating parties or anything. I said, I'm not propagating parties. I said, here is my advice, my spiritual advice to each and every person. Vote biblical values. That's it. I didn't say what party that was or anything to that nature. I said, we should be living in a biblical worldview, which means we should have the Bible as part of how we function on a day-to-day basis, and vote biblical worldview. Vote those who are going to lead in the manner that the Word of God says to do so, just like we find Josiah doing in this particular example. Now, like I said, he had his problems. You know, somebody had to show him. They had to find the Word of God, the law. Then they had to bring it back to Josiah, and it was like, oh man, what have we been doing? And some of you may be having that realization today. Well, let me tell you, because of God's grace, it is not too late. Now that the Holy Spirit has pointed that out to you in your life, what are you going to do about it? Do something. Do, and yet look at, we said Josiah went and said, no more idols, no more of these things, whether personal or public. You don't do this. What will you do today with what the Holy Spirit has led you in your life to do? You know, some people seem to get very little out of reading the Bible, while the hearts of others are greatly convicted by what they read and what they see in here. You know, I honestly think too that if you're one of those people that says, well, you know, I just don't get anything out of reading the Bible. I think at that particular point would be a good time for you to check your salvation. Because you know what? A lost person doesn't really get anything out of the Bible. Why? Because a lost person doesn't have our teacher. You know, when we accepted Christ, we were given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us. The Holy Spirit is what makes the light come on in our head. So if you're having real trouble with that, now that doesn't mean everything. I know, listen, there are some things that none of us will ever understand out of the Word of God on this side of glory. It will be made clear. But, you know, the simple little things, you know, there's a whole bunch of simple little things that you should be able to understand. It's like maturity. The Word of God also says that when you give your life to Christ, you become like a spiritual newborn baby. Well, spiritual newborn babies have to be taken care of. They have to have milk. They have to have diaper changes. They can't walk. Everything is dependent upon somebody else. But as they grow, then they start to eat some of the Gerber meals or rice cereal, and then they work their way up to little bits of table food that you give them, and before long they're eating you out of house and home. So, you know, not only do you teach them along the way, you got to teach them to feed themselves. You know, teach your children to feed themselves. Teach your spiritual children to feed themselves. And how's that done? Through the Word of God. Man, I believe that with all of my heart that it would make a tremendous, tremendous difference if we had more leaders like Josiah. And, you know, I also think about the difference that the Word of God makes in our lives when it comes down to making decisions and doing the right thing. Now, people, I didn't say that was going to be easy. Man, following Jesus is tough. You know, he told his disciples that. He said, make no bones about it. This is not an easy path. And some of us just cave way too easy. It's tough to follow the words of the Lord. It is tough to be a disciple of His. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but let me make you a promise. It's going to be well worth it. For a billion or a trillion years later, that's as far as I can think of. But after a trillion years, I will make you a promise that these few moments you spend on this earth following Jesus will be well worth every moment when you get to spend eternity in heaven with Him. Okay? And in your life today, would you consider God's Word to be lost or found? That's a pretty hard-hitting question, and I want you to ponder that for a moment. In your life today, would you consider God's Word to be lost or found? Now, the Holy Spirit already told you what the answer to that was. Now, I also say this, to thine own self be true. If you can't be honest with yourself today, you can't be honest with anybody. Be honest with yourself today. Is God's Word lost or found in your life? How hungry are you for God's Word? How hungry are you to be all that God wants you to be? And in light of those questions, what personal changes are you making or going to make to bring your life more in line with God's Word? You know, it's time to do something. You can't rely on somebody else to do it for you. You are going to have to do this. What will you do? I believe that at least in one or more areas of our lives, God has already said, here's what you need to do. The question is, will you do it? Number two question is, when will you start? If you've answered that question, yes, I'll do it. I'm willing to make the changes, then I want to encourage you to start right now. Start today. Take that time to get into God's Word. Take the time to say, Lord, and say that prayer before you get into it. Say, Lord, I want you to teach me something today that's applicable to my life right where I am right now. And I can make you a promise that 100% of the time, God will do exactly that. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will change your life. It will give you direction. He'll give you direction. He'll give you answers. He'll give everything that you need right here through this book. And y'all are sitting there going, oh man, I have a hard time believing that. Try it. I dare you. I can make you that promise after the years that I have followed the Lord, which I trusted Christ at a very young age. So 50 plus years. I have been walking in the Word of God, and I've watched Him do incredible things that I can't even begin to describe. And it's always been applicable to me right where I was in the middle of my circumstances, in the middle of my situations at that particular moment. Will you give God a try? Will you turn your life over to Him for real? Will you walk with Him? Will you be a true disciple? Not just one who has accepted Him, but one who is walking with Him. See, we need to pray today for God to give us a great hunger for His Word and for His heart, and that our hearts would be greatly convicted by His Word. And that's what we're going to do here in just a moment. I pray that for you today, and I'll pray that for each and every person who has the opportunity to hear this message today. All right, let me go ahead and give you what our Bible readings are for this week. This week, we're actually going to be looking at the book of Ezra, and there's one chapter we're going to skip. So you're going to be reading Ezra chapter 1, and then Ezra chapters 3 through 6. So that's Ezra chapter 1, and then Ezra chapters 3 through 6. And next week, we will look at the historic decree of King Cyrus out of the book of Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you and your word have always been with us. Your word testifies to that. Thank you, Father, for the fact that your word is our guide to each and everything, not only in our life, but in the life of our families, in the life of our jobs, in the life of our country. Lord, your word gives every single answer that any question could ever be thought about. Help us, Father, to seek you. God, I pray that we will not find ourselves like our scripture text today, that your word has been lost to us personally, lost to the church, lost to our country. Lord, help us. Father, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us today and gives us direction on what we need to do, may you give us courage by which to be able to do that. Father, for those who are walking with you, I pray that you would continue to give them courage and longevity. Lord, for those today who are struggling, I pray that you will just intervene in their lives. For those today, Father, who are lost, I pray that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you and begin a fresh start. Lord, begin life anew with true peace that passes all understanding. It can't even be described. Lord, I pray you'll give us a great week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear our story, our testimony, what it is that you've done in our lives, the things we have seen, the things we have heard. And Lord, help us to be excited about sharing those things. May we point people to you. May we point people to the kingdom as we go through the highways and hedges. As Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Listen, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. I hope and trust and pray that if you happen to be in the area of Oak Ridge, North Carolina, and you're looking for a church, please join us here at Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North, right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services begin at 10:45. We would love to have you come and visit with us and be a part of God's family right here at Central Baptist Church. God bless you. Have a great week.